Testing 1, 2, 3, there we go. Otra vez, buenos días, mis hermanos. Hoy yo voy a dar la mensaje en español, si está bien con ustedes. ¿Está bien? Ok, muy bien.
We can't speak in tongues.
Yeah? Okay. Well, I'm going to continue from the message that I was doing. The last time was 3 weeks ago. I'm sure you all remember that message perfectly, so I'm just going to roll right from where I left off. Now, I will do a little recap to help us all, since there has been a fairly large gap there. And before we do, let me just pray over this message right now. Father God, we pray for your blessing, your anointing, your hand to be upon us all right now. Father, that our hearts and minds would be prepared by your Spirit to receive the engrafted Word of God, which is able to save and change and deliver and transform our souls. Father, your anointing, I pray, let it rise up within me to minister, and that I would speak as the oracles of God. Father, I minister with the ability which you provide. I minister the wisdom of God, and I minister in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. And I thank you, Father, that the people here have ears to hear what you have to say, Father God. They have ears to hear. They hear the voice of the Lord, and they follow you, Father. We have spiritual ears to hear, and we follow you, Lord. Father, we thank you for your blessing on this message, that it is anointed of you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. 3 weeks ago, I think is when it was last message. And basically, the couple things that I covered there in a very quick summary is, number one, that we are citizens of the kingdom of God. We are both citizens and heirs. And now this is really important. What I'm addressing here in all these messages, if you haven't figured this out, what I'm addressing is a mindset. The mind is the issue that makes or breaks our walk with the Lord. If you recall, I even showed a diagram of this, but I'm kind of referencing the mind as being an interface. The mind, your mind and mine, is the interface of heaven. It really is. Heaven and all of its power, our born-again spirit and all of its power, want to come together and work in unison to bring heaven to earth. There is only one thing that stands in the way, and that is our mind. Now, I understand that that is difficult to really believe. We may believe it a little bit, but I think it is our nature to think that that's just a little bit crazy. There's certainly more to it than that. How could it possibly be that this thing within our cranial cavity is like the thing that makes the difference between the power of God moving or not moving in the earth? It just doesn't really stand to reason. I understand that. That's why I'm taking the time, and I've taken weeks, and I'm going to continue on it, showing you scripture after scripture after scripture. And what I want you to do, I want you to try and do this. Consider the Word of God and just say, is that what the Word says? If in fact that's what the Word says, then we need to submit to it. We need to say, I don't care if that sounds crazy. I don't care if that sounds unreasonable. It's what the Word says it is, and therefore it is in fact the case. And so, let's get on with it. Let's do what the Word says. and see if we will not enjoy the fruit of what the Word says I will enjoy. I'm just trying to say this however I can to help break through whatever fallow ground there is that's keeping us from getting to wherever we want to get. I understand that this is kind of crazy to think that the mind is really the issue. Let me say it this way. Maybe this will help. Who created the heavens, the earth, you, your mind, the ability to think, the ability to speak, the synapses that are firing in your and my brain right now, the nerves that run through our system, the ability to learn language and speak. And I'm really not speaking words. You realize what I'm speaking are nothing more than vibrations. Just different tones are coming out of my mouth. And if they're not formed together right, it seems like nonsense. But to say orange, I just put a couple vibrations together. Orange. And your ear has these little hairs in it that are bouncing to those vibrations, and it sends those same vibrations up into your brain, and your brain takes those vibrations and sends information to you that says those vibrations are talking about a color. I mean, the whole thing is wild. Who made all of that? Did you make that? Did you create that? Did you come up with that? Did I come up with that? Did I make this? I didn't make heaven. I didn't create the earth, all the animals, the fish, the sea, the fowl of the air, the reptiles, the bugs, the mosquitoes that bother us, and the other things like birds that eat those, and the whole eco chain, and it's all perfect and in perfect balance, and the planets that fly around with a gravitational pull that keeps it all just so. I mean, who did all that? The same person that did all that created the mind. It's all his. He did all of this. Wouldn't it be intelligent for us to listen to him if he says, this is how it works? Children, this is how it works. If he's saying that, we should just say, okay, this is how it works. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. And I'm going to continue with this teaching just by opening another verse of scripture to you. One of many. I forgot I was in the middle of a summary. Somehow I went off a summary and started preaching the message. The summary of the last couple weeks is, number one, you and I are citizens of heaven, citizens of the kingdom of God. We are heirs of the kingdom of God. I'm not going back into those scriptures. I'm just doing a summary. I showed you all the scriptures. Why? What's the importance of that? You need to understand, I need to understand. Again, I'm addressing a mindset. Most of us feel, I believe, most Christians, because a lot of Christians, we swim in unbelief, and I'm just trying to break through that. We have a sense, a feeling that we're kind of like beggars at the gate. God, let me in. I want to kind of be a part of God. You know, we're like beggars at the gate. And what I want to share with you is that you're not a beggar at the gate. You are a full-fledged citizen of the kingdom with all of the rights of the kingdom. You are an heir of God, joint heir with Christ Jesus. There are beggars at the gate, and the Lord beckons us to go out there and draw them in. But we're not the beggars at the gate. We are citizens, full-fledged citizens, not part citizens, not working on it. We're not going through a process of immigration. with a 13-year deal. You know, we are full-fledged citizens. All rights. The whole kingdom is ours. We're like, oftentimes, unfortunately, the older brother of the two, you know, the prodigal son who ran off. We're like the older brother. We're on the farm, and we don't even realize it all belongs to us. It's all ours. The other thing I talked about was the fact that the mind is the interface. That's where I went off on that just a few minutes ago. And I also, this is just, again, summary. I also talked about the fact that before we were born again, our spirit was dark, blackened, darkened, because it's cut off from the source of light. Before we were born again, our spirit was dark, our mind was dark. After we accepted Christ, our spirit was what? Light. As he is, so am I now in this world. As he is, so are you now in this world. Your spirit is perfected forever. You were born not of corruptible but incorruptible seed by the word of God. It is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is no longer you who live, but Christ who lives in you. Your spirit is born again, perfect and whole. But your mind, in my mind, is still darkened. I'm talking about right after you're born again, your mind is still darkened. Your mind isn't what but got born again. We are spirit, soul, and body. Only one part got born again, and that's the spirit. Now the mind immediately, instantaneously is influenced by the new birth, by the new creation. We know something happened. We sense it. The peace of God comes all over us. It begins the process of something's different around here. So the mind, you know, Darius put together some slides for me, and I've used them here several times, and I changed that second slide after being born again. The mind, instead of it being black, we changed it to kind of charcoal gray. It's still darkened, but it's not quite as black as it was. Our job in walking with God, I don't know if a job's a good word for it, but what we've been called to is a transformation process. God is calling us to a transformation process of renewing the mind, enlightening the mind, letting the word of God wash through our mind and get it straightened out. So that's the whole summary of the last two messages. That's what I talked about. Today, we're going to continue, and we're going to start by looking in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. Galatians 5, 16 and 17 says this: walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you do not do the things that you wish. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. This is the entire thing that I've been talking about for weeks, this transformation process. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. One way I did it is by having three people stand up here demonstrating the spirit, the soul, and the body. So with that up here, if you could picture that still up here, what is he saying? He's saying, walk in the, and you shall not fulfill the, of the flesh is the soul and the body together, makes up the flesh. He's saying, walk in this part. Do you remember who it was that was standing for this part? Darius. Walk in the Darius, and you shall not fulfill the Peter and Brian. What'd you say? Okay. Walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh, or the desires of the flesh. That's what the word lust means. Lust is simply means an an extreme desire for something. We oftentimes throw sex in there, and certainly it includes it, but that's not at all the only thing it's talking about. It's talking about you can lust after money. You can lust after fame. You can lust after attention from your... Yeah, absolutely. You can lust after food, absolutely. Lust after anything. Huh? Did you say amen? Lust simply is a lusting for something. That's all it is. It's an overwhelming desire for something. Anything, any number of things. Lusting for affirmation. It's when something is out of order. It's okay to desire food. Not only okay, there'd be something seriously wrong with you if you don't. God designed us to desire food that we may live. If you had no desire for food, you could be in trouble. It's okay to desire money. You should desire money. You need it to live in this earth. It's okay to desire a car. It's okay to desire any number of things. Desire, when it's in its proper place, is healthy. It's good. It's when it becomes too strong, it actually becomes an idol. And so here it's simply saying that the flesh desires, lusts, it desires against the spirit. In other words, its desires are against the spirit's desires. The spirit has certain desires, the flesh has certain desires, and the flesh desires against, it has different desires, its desires are against the spirit, and the spirit has desires that are against the flesh. Now, it is easy, and I believe, unfortunately, again, I hate to keep saying this because I don't know if it sounds like I'm being really pessimistic about Christians and the body of Christ. But the reality is the majority of us are not anywhere close to living in what God has called us to live in. And so I'm addressing why that is. I'm addressing the mindset. And so here's another mindset. When we read much of Scripture, we tend to be condemned by Scripture, a lot of it, as we read it. And I think this is just one of many examples. Do you find yourself, when you read this, therefore I say, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not desire the lust of the flesh. Do you find yourself kind of like, ooh, I know I should be, but I'm, you know, I struggle with, you know, and you get all this condemnation coming in, right? Do you? I mean, can anyone, I'm not wanting you to support me by raising your hand. I want honesty. Do you find when you read like a verse like this, walk in the flesh and you shall not fulfill the lust of the, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. When you read that, do you feel a little bit like a weight of performance and that you aren't really there? I mean, is that what you get from it when you read it? Raise your hand if you get that.
It's not a weight of performance.
Okay.
It's checking yourself because you want to be in alignment with God.
Right, okay. Yeah.
You just thank God that His word is there and it's true and it's for your benefit.
Yes. That's good. That's exactly where you want to be. That's the right mindset. And listen, I think that we as a body, we know better than to condemn ourselves. We know that's not right. We know that we don't need to do that. We know that God Himself is not condemning us. All right? We know that, and that's wonderful. I'm just dealing with the reality of what's happening still in most people's minds. When we read Scripture, oftentimes it condemns us. And what I want to encourage you in something. This is powerful if you get what I'm trying to tell you. In all of the reading of the Bible, know something. Know this. That's not why God gave you the Word. That's not His heart. In the beginning was what? The Word. The Word was with God, and the Word what? Was God. The Word is God. God is the Word, right? All things were made through him and nothing, without him, nothing was made that was made. And drop down to verse 14, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory as of the only begotten of God, right? Jump to chapter 3. God so loved the world that he gave his word. That those who believe in the word would be saved. Those who believed in the word would be delivered. Are you tracking with me? What's the next verse say? For God did not send his word to condemn. God did not send his word to condemn, but that the world through the word might be sozoed, delivered, transformed, empowered, set free, that it would bring the kingdom of God into the earth. It's his word working in his people that will bring the kingdom into the earth. That's why he sent his word. That's why. Always that's why. I would encourage you, if you ever struggle with condemnation when you read the word, go back to John 3, 16 and 17 and read those two scriptures and put the word in the place of Jesus. It's too easy when you read Jesus. Well, that was Jesus. You know, you put it off. Put the word in there and remind yourself God so loved the world that he gave his word. That whoever would believe in the word would be saved. For God did not send the word to condemn. He did not send his word to condemn. But that the world through the word might be saved, delivered, set free, transformed, made to be like him. That's why he sent the word. So, looking at Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17, in the light of God's word, specifically the word I just gave you, when we look at it through that lens, find what God's trying to say to us. He's trying to set you free. He's trying to deliver you. He wants to bring transformation. It's all good. It's good, 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 good news. Let me help you see some of that. Let me try and shine some light on how powerful this is. This verse of scripture alone is powerful. I'll tell you why. Let's just look at the first four words after it says, I say then, and then he starts what he's going to say. The first four words, what are they? Walk in the Spirit. Now, that should not be condemning. We know God did not send his word to condemn. Walk in the Spirit should be incredibly encouraging. Can someone tell me why that should be encouraging? It is really encouraging. Why? Yes, that's it. Listen, God is speaking, and he says, walk in the Spirit. That's exactly right. God says, walk in the Spirit. God says, Aaron, walk in the Spirit. He says, lady, walk in the Spirit. Anna, walk in the Spirit. Darius, the Lord says, walk in the Spirit. You know what that means? It means you can. Nancy, I want you to do something, all right? I would like you to get out of your chair, and I want you to go over and touch that brick wall and then go back to your chair. Carissa, I would like for you to go to someone in this room and give them a hug. No matter how awkward it may seem, please do it. Find someone in this room and give them a hug. Someone other than your husband. Aww. Uh-oh. You got hugged back, too. Isn't that beautiful? Give, and it shall be given unto you. Avery, since you're probably the tallest person in the room, I would like for you to jump and touch the ceiling. No, from where you are, jump and touch the ceiling. No, you don't have to try. What is the difference between the three directives that I just gave? Yeah. First two are possible. The third one isn't possible. God said, walk in the Spirit, Brad. God is saying to every single one of his children, walk in the Spirit. I don't know if I'm getting across what I'm trying to get across, but this is really encouraging. You need to tell your mind when it says it's not possible, you need to tell your mind, shut the heck up. God said, walk in the Spirit. God would not say, Brad, jump and touch the ceiling if I was not capable of it. When God tells you to do something, when he tells me to do something, it's beautiful because I now know something else that I can do. I can do this. Do you know that it is possible that we can walk free of sin? Now, people really struggle with this one. I know. Every time I bring it up to people, I get the same responses from people. Okay, can I find another teacher? This guy doesn't know what he's talking about, whatever. Especially when I talk to people on an individual basis where they're free to respond, you know. It's always the same. Come on, man. You know, that's just not impossible. That's what our mind tells us. And do you know, as long as your mind is telling you that, as long as you're allowing your mind, let me say it that way, as long as you're allowing your mind to tell you that, guess what? You will believe it. And you will never, and I will never walk free of sin. You will never, I will never walk in the Spirit as long as I believe that I cannot. I just want to encourage you from Galatians 5, verse 16, God said to us, walk in the Spirit. Let me tell you how you get past that place of unbelief. I'm jumping way ahead. I'm just going with the flow right now. Now this is RBV version. I don't know if you guys have ever purchased your RBV yet. Yes. This is RBV, but it's right on, it's powerful. This is scripture from my holy book. RBV says this, meditation brings revelation. Revelation brings manifestation. Now listen, I did not say knowledge brings manifestation. I said meditation brings revelation. It's revelation that brings manifestation. Now, can I give you the RBVA? Anyone know what that is? Very good. Who said that? The Rad Brad version amplified might help you a little bit, all right? Here is the amplified version. I don't know if you guys should pick these up. I think they have them at the Lifestyle bookstores now.
I get my audio version.
Do you? Audio version. Oh, that's good. Yeah. That's good, Aaron. Okay, here's the RBVA of that same verse of Scripture. Familiarization brings frustration. Concentrated meditation brings revelation. Declared revelation brings manifestation.
Wow.
That's how it works. That's reality from the point of frustration to the point of manifestation. Familiarization brings frustration. Can anyone tell me what familiarization is? What am I saying when I mean that? Yeah, but what? How did you say it, Aaron? I don't.
You know it. Like, I know that.
Exactly. Yeah, I know that. I've read that. Yeah, I mean, I know that's what it says. Next, let's go on to the next scripture. Let's talk about another topic. I got that already. I'm born of incorruptible seed. I got that. Yeah, I know. Walk in the Spirit, shut off from the lust of the flesh. Okay, let's go on to the next message. And yet, is it happening? Is it real in your life? Are you seeing the fruit of it? Are you seeing the manifestation of it? Familiarization brings frustration. Why am I having a hard time with that word? Concentrated meditation, this is the Amplified Version, brings revelation. Because you can get a little bit lost with just the RBV on this particular scripture that says meditation brings revelation, because you meditated on it for 5 minutes yesterday. Well, I meditated on it. Concentrated meditation brings revelation. Well, how do I know when I have revelation? You don't have it yet. How do I know? Exactly. If you're asking, how do I know if I've got revelation? All I have to say is you don't. You don't. Concentrated meditation brings revelation knowledge, the kind that 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4 talks about. 2 Peter chapter 1, 1 through 4, y'all should know that verse by now. Well, look at there. And declared declared revelation brings manifestation. Now, let's just go back into Galatians 5, verse 16 and 17. And by the way, I take no responsibility for the length of my message today, being that we are absent of a clock. I've been set free from the law. I play fetch with my cat, which is not my cat. I just cat sit a lot. And he is so cute. You guys should see this cat fetch. Have you ever seen a cat fetch? I mean, a lot of cats, you throw something, they go get it, but do they bring it back to you? Heck no. They like go off with it, do whatever, you know. This cat fetches like better than most dogs. It's incredible. So I've got this little ball, and I flick it, because I can flick it faster than I can throw it, and that thing just flies. I mean, you know, it goes off at like 100 miles an hour. He is so quick. Most of the time, it won't get past him. He's like a goalie. He just bats it down. Comes right back. I have to try and get it past him, you know. So, unfortunately, several of those times, I've drilled him right in the face, not meaning to. I feel really bad. I'm trying to get around it, but he's so quick. He'll be like over here. I'll flick it here, but he jumps so fast, it drills him right in the face, you know. So he developed this new approach to things. When I'm getting ready to do it, he gets... he gets on the stairs, because I flick it down these stairs. So now he gets on the first step and he ducks. He's just waiting for it. He's a smart guy. Yeah, that's him. That's Max. Now, what does this have to do with the message? Absolutely nothing. I just saw, because I pulled up my clock to put it on the see the clock. It was my screensaver. So then, Galatians 5. Come on, guys, get back in the spirit here. Walk in the spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. I just want to point out some points here that are very obvious, but nonetheless powerful. First of all, he's saying here that the flesh and the spirit fight. They are at war with one another. They are not in agreement. Listen, I think it's better to say they're just not in agreement, because the spirit's not warring at all. It is just like Jesus, perfectly collected, calm, cool, ready to rock and roll at any time. Whenever there's a need, he's ready. He can meet any need, any time. Doesn't matter if there's 20,000 people out in the middle of the wilderness and they're hungry. No problem. He can handle it. Doesn't matter if they owe taxes and they aren't working because they're out ministering. No problem. Go fishing. He just handles it. He is so awesome, so cool. And that's you on the inside, ready to handle any situation at any time. You're in the mall, you're shopping, you run into some old friends, they start talking, and you haven't seen them for a long time, and then they mention to you that they now have diabetes, and they're on dialysis, and they're just weeks away from death. No problem. Can I pray for you? Lay hands on them, they're healed instantly. They walk out of the mall healed because they had an encounter with you. That's who we are. If we could just get our thinking lined up with that reality, it'll flow out of us. Do you really think for one second that Paul or Peter were any different than you? Any different? I'm talking about as a human being. Are they a different kind of human being? Are there different levels of human beings on the earth? Are there kind of like superhumans and then humans? I mean, we see a lot in the movies. Does it really exist? Paul put on his pants one leg at a time. He ate by shoveling food into a hole in his face. He had to go to the bathroom a couple times a day, hopefully, if he was regular. He had bad attitude. He had bad breath. He had to comb his hair in the morning. He had to take a shower because he would stink otherwise. He would get in arguments with his wife. He would have issues. I mean, apparently he had issues because, well, maybe this issue could have been on his wife's part because his wife left him. Did y'all know Paul was married? He was married. But his wife left him, probably because he accepted Christ. We don't know why. But my point is, Paul was just a man. Look at Peter. He's just a man. He was a fisherman. I don't want to go into all of it about Peter, but the point is, he's a man. No different, zero difference from you and me. Don't put these people on some pedestal and say, well, you know, those guys were, they were called to that. Yeah, they were. And so are you. We have been called to exactly the same. Jesus said, the things that you see me do, you can do. Jesus said, you, Brian, can do exactly what he did. That's incredible. Raise the dead. We should be raising the dead. Seriously, we should be raising the dead. There's a young kid right here in Columbus that, you know, was played a role in raising someone from the dead just because he heard that he could. So he believed it, and he had some real crazy thoughts. I guess I can do that. And got a police scanner and started riding around the city listening to the police scanner to find someone who was dead. Heard one, raced to the scene, wanted to go up and pray for the person. The police kept him back, said, "You can't, what are you doing? You can't go over there. I need to go pray for them. They're already dead. Stand back." And he just couldn't get through, so then he decided, "Well, I'll do it from here." And he just started speaking over the woman. Then the woman raised up. Yeah, there's a guy that got saved in a meeting one time and heard that we can heal the sick. He was just told straight up, "You can heal the sick now that you've accepted Christ." He was so fired up, he went down to the local hospital, started healing everybody in the hospital. Because no one had told him that he can't. You know what happened there? It's just his mind. The mind got lined up, and the power of God began to flow. The mind is the interface of heaven. If we would get our mind aligned with our spirit, the power will flow out of us. Jesus said, "Listen, you guys are struggling with faith. If you had faith as a mustard seed," because they were saying, what'd they say? "Lord, increase our faith." He said, "Listen, if you had faith as a mustard seed, you could say to a mountain, 'Be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea.'" You know what he was saying? You don't need more faith. You've got all the faith you need. It only takes a mustard seed of faith to move a mountain. So what's the issue? Why couldn't they move mountains? What did Jesus say to them? Every time they couldn't do something, he had the same rebuke to them. He would say, "Little faith," or most often he would say, "Unbelief." "Why could we not do that, Lord?" He would say, "Well, you know, sometimes..." Go into a counseling session? No. He'd just say, "Because of your unbelief." Just straight up. I mean, you know, we picture Jesus being so sweet and kind and loving, which he is. You know the most loving, sweet, kind thing he can say to them? "The truth, because of your unbelief." Let's just get on with it, guys. That's what it is. It's our unbelief. Period. The issue isn't faith. Faith isn't the issue. The issue, I mean, you could say faith is the issue. There's different ways to say it, but you don't have faith because of unbelief. So, but it's not a lack of faith. You have all the faith that you need. I have all the faith that I need to do whatever we need to do in life. The issue is unbelief. Unbelief is in the mind. If we get the unbelief out of the way, faith will flow. "As a man thinketh, so is he." It's that simple. This is so simple that it takes help to misunderstand it. I mean, you got to ask for help to misunderstand this. It's so simple. But it's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm saying it's so simple. And in fact, it's one of the hardest things that you and I will do consistently. It's hard to walk in the Spirit because we live in a world that is going in the opposite direction. All the information of the world is screaming at you and me in the opposite direction. It is literally swimming upstream. You have to just know that, and knowing that empowers you. Okay, I'm not going to worry that. Everything is saying the opposite. Everything, billboards, people, teachers, everything is saying the opposite. I don't care. I'm going upstream, dog. I'm going. You know, you go where the Word says you can go. Don't worry about what anyone else says. Go where the Word says you can go. This happens through meditation in the Word. Meditation, concentrated meditation. Okay, I'm going to get right down to brass tacks, how it works, even though I've already said it in that wording. If you meditate in the Word, just let the Word get in you. That's all you have to do. That's all I have to do. Let the Word do its own work. Get the Word in you, 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 and then it will produce the fruit of Dynamos. I was trying to remember the word. Power. Dunamis. There it is. I knew it didn't even sound right then. Dunamis, power. It will produce dunamis, the Greek word for power. It'll come out of you. Listen, here's another way to see this in this selection of scriptures, actually going down even further. But in verse 19, well, I'll just continue reading. Verse 18 says, but if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident. They're obvious, is what he's saying. They're obvious. What are the works of the flesh? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, you know, all these things. Trash. Outbursts of wrath, anger. You know, that's not the Spirit. When you're losing your temper at anybody, you're not in the Spirit. When you find yourself, you know, having bad thoughts of any kind, when we are doing that, we are not in the Spirit. The works of the Spirit are evident. They're obvious. They are, and then he lists off. And then he goes on to say, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. I want you to notice something. One is called works. The other one is called what? Fruit. You notice they're not both called works. You know why that is? Exactly. One is what we do. The other one, we don't do it. You can't produce the fruit of the Spirit. It's fruit of the Spirit. You can't produce them. You know what you and I do? You know what our part in this whole thing is? Get the Word in you. Get the Word in you. Get the Word in you. And the Spirit will produce the fruit of love, joy, peace. You know one of those is? Faith. One of the fruits of the Spirit is faith. It will come out of you. You will have faith for every situation in life. You will have love for every situation in life. Someone can do the most outrageous thing against you, and if you or if I have done the time of spending time in the Word, we will have nothing but love to respond to that. I've experienced this for extended periods of time of my life, and I've gone for extended periods of time where I was not in this place. There was a time in my life where I was in this church and I was in leadership. I was a teacher in the church, and I was teaching the very same things I'm teaching right now. The power of God is available. There's no issue with faith. You know, God wants to heal you. God wants to make you well financially, spiritually, emotionally, physically, every way. And there was a group of people in the church that hated my guts because of this message. They were so wrapped up in the law, man. They were wrapped tight. And I was just really messing up their doctrine. They believed that God brought sickness to get glory. He got glory out of sickness. God puts people in a place of poverty because somehow God gets glory out of that. And so I was just really, I was messing up their program. They hated my guts. So they started spreading rumors in the church about me. I mean outrageous rumors. Just lie, lie, lie. It was crazy. I can tell you with God as my witness, I was never 1 minute bothered by it. Literally not even bothered. It was incredible. I could hardly even bleed. I'm like, I love these guys. I really did. And every time I'd hear it, I'd be like, oh man, Lord, help them. Oh, Father, God, I just pray your Spirit upon them. I can't believe they said it. Lord, they need help. I mean, literally, that's what came out of me. I look back on it in amazement, going, God, get me there again. It was incredible. That's that time I told you where I was spending just outrageous hours every single day in the Word. I just devoured the Word. Do you know I never spent one moment trying to work up love? Love. I didn't work on love any more than when you plant a seed in the ground, then you go dig it up and start squeezing and massaging the seed. Let me squeeze a plant out of you. You don't go work on the seed. You just plant the seed, and the earth will bring forth fruit of itself. You knoweth not how. First the blade, then the head, then the full grain in the head. And when the grain ripens, he puts in the sickle, for his harvest has come. I planted, and love came. I planted, and faith came. I planted, and long-suffering came. I planted, and self-control came. It's a fruit. When's the last time you walked under an apple tree and heard the apples grunting? When's the last time you heard bananas grunting? They just bloop. They just, because they're fruit. The tree's producing it. They're just fruit. All the things that come from the Spirit are the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruit of Brad. It's not the fruit of Sherry. It's the fruit of the Spirit. This is how we walk in the Spirit. We renew our mind to the Word, by the Word. The washing of water by the Word produces the glorious bride that Jesus is looking for. It's the Word, the Word, the Word. You cannot get to where I'm talking about with your five-minute devotional. This is the hard part of it. It takes work. You're not going to get there with your five-minute devotional. That's like a Ritz cracker for the day. Love Ritz crackers. But it's not going to get you there. If you want to be a power lifter that's bench pressing 450, squatting 600, you cannot do it eating five Ritz crackers a day. Do you know about that? You know, you have to eat like 10 eggs in the morning. I did this one time for about 4 months. I talked to this guy. This will be my closing because this is an analogy. I worked out hard as anybody in the gym. There's no question in my mind about it. I did it for years. I actually really like working out. And when I'm in there, man, I go for it. I tend to do that with most things in my life. I just like go for it, right? I'm in the gym. I mean, people sometimes when they comment, it's like, man, because I'm like, you know, I make a lot of noise when I work out, man, because I'm doing weights that are just, you know, I'm working it beyond what I am capable of. I go through these mental things in my head. Three more, you know, and I couldn't even hardly get that last one. I'm like, you are getting three more. I literally go through these images. I'm like, if you can't lift this, it'll kill your brother. Your brother will die. Can you lift this one? I mean, I do stuff like that. I go through these mental acrobatics because I know it's in the mind. I tell myself insane stuff like that so I can get one more. Because you know that one more is worth more than the 10 previous? You're splitting all these muscle cells, right? And I know that. So I'm pressing one more. I mean, I work out hard is my point. And yet, I never got really big. I would develop a certain amount of muscle, and I just couldn't get any bigger than that. I never wanted to be one of these guys that walks around like this. Never. I really had no interest in it. Even though I think it's really cool to look at them, I don't want it for myself. I think, you know, I just don't want it. But I wanted to get bigger than I was getting. I never understood. This is crazy. I work out harder than anybody in the gym, and I see these guys in here that are massive. Long story short, I thought, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I don't know something, right? I mean, I knew a lot about how to lift, so I thought I did, but I just started taking these magazines that were in a rack at this gym. I started getting these magazines. Every time I'd go in there, I'd take 10, 15 minutes to read the magazines. It was frustrating. It was all the stuff about food in there, and I'm trying to get to how do you build the bicep, how do you build the abs, how do you get the small of the back better, how do you work the traps, you know, and it's like food, whatever, get to the, okay, there's one on calves, okay, yeah, well, that's what I'm doing, okay, you know, six more pages of food, and then I did this for a couple months. I'm in bed one day and a light bulb goes on. Why is there so much stuff about food in those magazines? It just like, those things were in my way. They were frustrating, and it hit me. Maybe there's more to the food side of this than I ever realized. I ended up talking to a friend of mine who bench presses 650. He's won the World Strongman Contest 5 years straight. 650. The guy can bench press a beetle bug, you know, car. I mean, it's crazy. I asked him, his name is Arnold. I asked Arnold, I said, I just have a question for you. No, I asked Brian. There's a guy named Brian. He was a weightlifter. I asked him first. I just had dinner with him last night. I asked Brian first, what percentage of weightlifting, because he competes. I said, what percentage of it would you say is the working out part, and what percentage of it is food-based? And I said, in percentages, what would you say? He said, 25, 75. Are you serious? It's 25% food? That's crazy. He goes, no, I'm 75% food. I'm like, yeah, whatever. Come on, man, I'm serious. I'm trying, you know, so am I. And I could tell he was serious as could be. I'm like, what? I mean, my head was going tilt, tilt, tilt. That's impossible. It's only 25% what I do in the gym, and it's 75% what I eat? And he said, yes. So then I called my friend Arnold. Arnold, I'm just curious, man. I asked him the whole thing. What percentage, now this is a guy that bench presses 650. What percentage would you say is the food, and what percentage is working out? And he said, I'd give it 90-10. Arnold, are you serious? Oh, yeah, it's probably 90% food, 10% working out. What? And then I told him my whole complaint. I work out harder than anybody in the gym. I never get the same. He goes, tell me exactly what you do. Tell me your exact workout. Tell me what you eat. I told him the whole deal, and he said, your problem is simple. You overtrain and you undereat. He cut my workout in half, and he put me on this diet. 10 eggs. He's at 10 to 12 every morning, 3 chicken breasts in the afternoon, a large steak or a large piece of fish in the evening. We're talking 12 to 14 ounces. A pile of grains with each one of those meals, spinach or broccoli, and a protein shake in between each one of those meals. I told him, no matter what you tell me to do, I'm doing it. I'm doing it right now. You tell me what to do, I'll do whatever you tell me. He told me that. I this is insane. I don't have to work out half as much and eat all this food, right? I never even came within a universe of a hunger pain for about 4 months. It was disgusting. I walked around. I mean, I was like, I had to eat when I'm stuffed. It was next meal. I'm like, oh, you got to be kidding me. And I did it, right? I literally, after 4 months, I had to go out and buy an entire new set of shirts. I couldn't fit in anything I owned. I exploded. I was benching over 400 pounds, squatting over 600. It was insane. All my friends were going, Brad, dude, you need to stop, man. Everyone was telling me to stop, but I was just excited about what was happening. But then I decided, man, I hate food. I hate food. And I did not want to hate food anymore. And for that reason, I stopped. I'm like, this is disgusting. So, you know. Anyone know what my point is? I don't. I completely lost it. What? That's it.
You are what you eat. You gotta eat.
Yes. Yes, it's simply this. We have got to put the word in. This was it. I was saying a Ritz cracker is not going to do it. That's it. See, y'all didn't remember, but I remembered. A Ritz cracker isn't going to get the job done. If you want to renew your mind, if I want to renew my mind and walk in the power that God has for us, it's not even 5 Ritz crackers a day. It is a radical reprioritizing of our lives if we want it. And all it is renewing our mind. This I say, therefore, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. And what's the result? That you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You'll prove it to the world, what God has been saying all along. As you heal the sick and raise the dead, cast devils out, and everything else. Praise God, hallelujah. Are you going to say something? I saw the mic in your hand, that's why. I was going to be really good and wrap it up at 1:15. It's now 1:32. God bless you all. Father God, we pray your blessing on this message, that the seed, Father, would be planted deeply in our hearts. I pray the sealing of it by your Holy Spirit, that it cannot be and will not be touched by the enemy, Father, but it will bring forth and bear abundant fruit in our lives. Father, we love you. We thank you that you've given us your word, Father God, the pure word from heaven to set us free, Lord God, to walk in the power that you've called us to walk in. Lord, we say yes, yes, yes to your word, Father God. If anybody has any needs of any kind and you would like prayer, I want you to come up. I'd be glad to pray for you. Peter will be here for you. And otherwise, God bless you. Have a beautiful week, and we'll see you hopefully here next week.